Many of you have probably seen that film, the 1977 version, I believe, of Jesus, and it mainly takes it up from the Gospel of Luke, so it's a little bit different there to the reading we read in Mark. But we're going to focus this evening on Mark chapter 4 and verses 35 to 41 that Jerome read for us. And now the title of it is The Other Side. The Other Side. I don't know about you. Hopefully not too recently, but I know that when I was a kid, I often got lost, and usually it would take place in a place that is ridiculous, and it started off as a bit of fun. I don't know if, and I'm speaking to younger people generally, but when you're a child, and I don't know if you've ever been a clothes shop, usually a supermarket like Asda or Tesco in their clothes section, and the clothes rails are like right down low. And then if you go to the back of it, you can hide behind the clothes. Now, that's all very well and good until you come out and you realize mum or dad's not there. Oh, dear. And that brief feeling of, oh, my goodness, I'm lost. I don't know where my mum or dad is, or maybe granny or granddad or auntie or uncle, whoever. I'm lost. But almost always, they're not far away. They might be on the other side of the aisle. They're close by. Some of you maybe have stories that could be a bit worse. Maybe a parent or someone has actually left the store, but hopefully they're just really close by. In the story here in Mark chapter 4, Jesus is asleep in the boat. He's with his disciples, but he's asleep in the middle of this storm. The story I always find quite amazing because actually they are with Christ. There were several chapters into the book of Mark, and the disciples have seen a lot already of what Jesus has done. And even though Jesus is there, they kind of doubt. And I wondered, it got me kind of thinking, do we have times in our lives when we maybe feel like Jesus is asleep in the boat? We know that Jesus is with us. We're completely and utterly convinced of that Jesus is with us. We don't doubt it. But maybe we feel like Jesus is asleep in the boat. That might manifest itself in lots of different ways. It could be through health crises. It could be through work problems. It could be through relationship troubles. Jemima and me never have any relationship troubles. Financial struggles. It could be doubts of faith, and we might come through periods of life where even our faith is feeling like Jesus is asleep in the boat. Where is Jesus in our situation? We all have storms in life and situations and trials where things are just not plain sailing. And I want to highlight a couple things from the passage this evening because there are some really interesting themes which are brought up. It's helpful seeing the dramatization of the story there because you get to realize that actually it's a little bit different. I don't know if you've ever been in a boat or a ferry when there's been a storm. I've only been in a boat once where there's been a storm, and that was a fairly sizable ferry going across the Western Isles, and it wasn't too bad. The Irish Sea is particularly notorious for being pretty horrendous. So if you want to go to the Isle of Man or even across all the way to Ireland, the weather can be pretty choppy. But we're in nice big boats when we do that, usually. The disciples here are in a boat that's probably not much bigger than the stage, if anything. And so the area that they are in the Sea of Galilee, it's the second lowest lake around. It's about 400 feet below sea level. So it's a really low down. Only slightly lower is the Dead Sea. But what you've got is huge places around it of high mountains, and then you've got this basin with this water. And so the wind comes up over these hills and just throws itself into this lake and churns it up. So storms can come very, very quickly and very, very ferociously. And if you're in a little boat like that, it can be pretty scary. But these are seasoned fishermen. They knew what they were doing, and yet they were scared. The disciples, though, they're caught in the middle of the storm, and what's their response to Jesus? Jesus is asleep in the boat. In verse 38, the disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care if we drown?" Now, on the surface of it, of course Jesus cared if they drowned. Of course he does. He's in the boat with them. If the boat was going down, guess who's going down with them? Jesus is. So the question there is a little bit strange, because of course Jesus cares. Jesus has shown that he cares for his disciples right the way along. Why they're doubting? Jesus cares so much. We know elsewhere in Scripture that Christ speaks into our own situations, "Cast your cares on the Lord, for he cares for you." Jesus cares for us, and his plea to us is that we do share our burdens, share our troubles with Christ, because he does care for us. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will have eternal life. That's how much God cares. So Jesus, being the Son of God, being God incarnate, cares for his disciples. So a little bit of a silly question, isn't it, really? What is Jesus' response, though? You see, Jesus' response is remarkable. And I don't know about you, but if you're woken up, your first response to being woken up is not a good one. I know for me, it could be later in the morning, it could be middle of the night, it could be just from a nap, but I'm not going to get up and be quite pleasant straight away. I know, Jerome, you've said many times you like your sleep. And I'm sure there are many of us that love our sleep. And that being interrupted, it's going to be pretty stressful. I mean, the whole point that they're in the boat at the moment is that Jesus wants to leap the crowds. He wants time away. And he's so exhausted that he needs to sleep. Now, I find a verse in here quite interesting. And I don't know if you've noticed it before. At the end of verse 36, it says, "There were also other boats with him." Now, I'm sure Jesus must have been thinking, "Seriously, I'm getting the boats to go across the other side to get rid of, you know, to leave these people, and the boats are coming after me." And I do wonder if Jesus was maybe perhaps a bit of an introvert, that actually Jesus, whilst he loved people, that's absolutely evident. Maybe there's something in the character of Christ that needed that rest, needed that time to get away from people. Yes, loved people, but needed that time to get away. And to the point of exhaustion, was asleep in the middle of a storm. Jesus loves introverts. So Jesus is woken up. Who does he address first? Who does Jesus respond to first? Or rather, what? The storm. The storm, the wind, the waves. Jesus doesn't get up and says, what are you waking me up for? Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus doesn't go, come on, why are you waking me up? I can see there's a storm, but why are you waking me up? Jesus addresses the storm. He doesn't express frustration at the disciples first. No, he addresses the storm, the problem at hand. And he rebukes the storm. Jesus addresses the waves and the squall, all that's going on, all that is causing concern to the disciples. And I think in this, there is a really important lesson for us, that when we are alongside people who are going through storms in their life, it is unwise to rebuke them as opposed to the storm. Rebuke the storm. Deal with the issue at hand that's going on in their life. Support them through the storms of their life. And then talk to them after. Because actually, it's only when you've gone through the storm that you can realize, oh yeah, I've gone through a storm. If you're in the middle of it and someone, and Christians are great at this, rely on God. Trust in God. And there's another really important but annoying one, which is, all things work together for good. Have you ever heard that one? All things work together for good. After you've just heard some devastating news. But all things work together for good. I'm sorry, but that's not the attitude that Jesus has. Jesus doesn't get up and say, don't worry, all things work together for good, roll back over. No, he rebukes the storm. He addresses the storm. He addresses the thing which is causing panic and fear and anxiety, and Jesus calms it. He addresses the storm, and what does the storm have to do? Be obedient. There is no situation in our life that is not under the authority of God. Nothing that takes him by surprise. Nothing that takes him, startles him. Nothing that makes him think, oh, I didn't see that coming. Nothing. And every situation that we go through is in his control. We're not promised that we won't go through storms. We're not promised that the waves will never come up and we'll never experience that feeling of being swamped. We're not promised that. But we are promised that Jesus will be in the boat with us. Our circumstances must obey Christ. And we've been going through, as a church, the book of Job, and we realize that the whole narrative, the whole story of Job, is that actually God is in control. Even through the horrendous things that Job has to experience, God is in control. He allows it to happen, and ultimately he is in control. And he spares Job's life. He carries him through. Nothing is outside of God's hand. And this evening, you have to understand, nothing in your experience, nothing in your circumstances is outside of God's hand. And you may, that might move you to, well, why is God allowing this to happen? Jesus is with you in it. Jesus hasn't left the boat. Jesus hasn't checked out. Jesus isn't allowing you to go through it alone. Jesus is with you in the storm. After Jesus confronts the storm and he tells the wind and the waves to quiet, be still, they die down. And it was completely calm. And then Jesus moves and responds to the disciples. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? The actor in the video there, I think maybe puts a little bit of a different spin on the tone that's there. Because I don't believe that this is something that's patronizing the disciples. I don't think Jesus is saying, come on, why are you so afraid? You know, it's not like a, why are you so afraid, you stupid people. It's no, it's, why are you so afraid? There's a yearning in Christ's heart there. And it's, his words are not of judgment. They're actually of tenderness. And we know that because he's dealt with the storm. If he was acting out of frustration, he would have been like, deal with it, swim to shore. You know, the logical response is that actually Christ's tone is one of care for his disciples and one of tenderness. So when he says these words, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? He's affirming that actually he's there with them. He's never left them. It's really important to know that those words have happened after one very important thing that Jesus said. And it's that you'll find it in the first verse of our reading in verse 35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Jesus has said they're going to the other side. There is nothing that can change that fact, that Jesus has said we are going to the other side. If Jesus says something, it will happen. And we can know and we can trust with absolute certainty that when God says, you're going to make it through to the other side, we will make it to the other side. Does it mean that we're spared of the storm? No, of course not. Does it mean that we're never going to go through difficulty? No, of course not. But Jesus has promised that we will go to the other side of the lake, get to the other side of life, as it were. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. We can know that actually we are going to be carried to the other side in any circumstance that we go through. We are going to the other side. What an encouragement to know that Jesus doesn't say that to desert us. Jesus doesn't say that to leave us to go on our own. Jesus doesn't say that to then say, well, you know, best of British, good luck to you. We'll see how you come out. Jesus isn't saying that to say, oh, I'll meet you at the other side. Jesus saying, let's go to the other side. Let us go to the other side. Jesus' final words, or some of his final words to his disciples, and yes, to every single believer, is that, behold, or lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. That is Christ's promise to us this evening, that regardless of what we go through, Jesus is always with us. Regardless of what storm may come, there's nothing that can surprise him. Christ is with us. I want to finally look at the disciples' response. You see, the disciples were scared of the storm. They were terrified. They thought they're going to die. But then when Jesus does speak to the storm and he calms the wind and the waves, verse 41, they were terrified. They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Even nature obeys him. Even inanimate objects obey him. Who is this?" Praise God, we know who this is. We know this is Jesus. I wonder though, if you've prayed about something and you look back on it and you realize that God has moved in that situation, that is a bit terrifying. It's a good terrifying, but it's terrifying to know that God has stepped into your situation. And I would say this evening, if I can say something, it would be that trust God to move in your situation. Trust God to work in your situation. Trust God to work a miracle in your situation, because even the wind and the waves obey him. It's dangerous and it's terrifying, but that is our God. C.S. Lewis put it quite well in the Chronicles of Narnia, in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And it's the discussion between the beavers. And I think it's Susan says, you know, "Is he safe?" Talking about Aslan. "Is he safe?" "No, but he's good." And that is very much like God. Is he safe? "No, but he's good." He's terrifying, but he's good. Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. This evening we worship God. We praise God. We've been singing. We have 10,000 reasons plus more to bless God for what he's done. And we have sung, "Lord, I need you. Every hour, I need you." His response to us is, "Every hour, I'm with you." And we don't have to be afraid. Does it mean we'll never be afraid? No, we will. Sometimes we will be. The whole point that Jesus says right the way through the Gospels, "Do not be anxious, do not worry, don't be afraid," is because, guess what? We're going to be. But that urge of the Savior is a reminder, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Because I am with you. And I hope that's an encouragement and a blessing to you this evening, that God is always with you in any and every situation that we go through. And we're going to close and sing a song which is probably new to us, Living Hope. And I just want to read a few verses from it first, because the words are amazing. "How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written, Jesus Christ, my living hope." They're words that speak truth to us today, that God in Jesus Christ is our living hope.